You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International. Next in line is Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
The ceasefire isn't holding in the east of Ukraine. Pro-Russian separatists keep shelling the Ukrainian army positions using heavy weapons prohibited by the Minsk agreements. As RUI reported earlier, the latest ceasefire agreement came into effect at midnight on August 25th. However, the deal collapsed almost immediately, like many previous ceasefire agreements in the part. The first provocative attacks by militants began in the evening of the same day. The situation was the tensest in the frontline areas around the city of Donetsk, the strategically important industrial town of Avdiivka, and in the Mariupol sector of defense. At the end of the week, the situation remained much the same. Anatoly Stelmach, counter-terrorist operations spokesman, has informed about the details on Friday.
Як і в день, російські окупаційні угруповання продовжили обстріли позицій сил АТО на Донецькому і Приморському напрямках.
Russia-backed militants kept shelling the Ukrainian army positions day and night. Targeting Ukrainian army positions in the Donetsk and Mariupol sector, the enemy used grenade launchers and light arms. In the Donetsk sector, militants shelled the Ukrainian positions near the town of Avdiivka and the Butivka coal mine from heavy-caliber machine guns and light arms, said Anatoly Stelmach. Since the beginning of the counter-terrorist operation, Security Service of Ukraine has assisted in the release of over 3,100 people from captivity. This was said at the meeting of the Joint Center for Control and Coordination by its head, Yuri Kachanov, on Thursday, September 7th. According to him, the launch of the center's activity took place on the 7th of April 2014, at the very beginning of the conflict in the east of Ukraine. Since then, the center has assisted in the localization and the release of 3,136 persons overall. Different social strata are among those: military servicemen, journalists, and civilians. As of today, 144 people are still being held in captivity and 410 are considered missing, informed the head of the Joint Center for Control and Coordination. On September 6 in Minsk, the subgroup on humanitarian issues within the Trilateral Contact Group on Conflict Resolution in Eastern Ukraine has met. Witnessed by OSCE representatives, the Ukrainian side has repeated its claim on the immediate release of the captives. As Ukraine's representative, deputy spokeswoman of Verkhovna Rada, Irina Geraschenko, has informed, I quote, "We demand to release 87 Ukrainians whose whereabouts have been confirmed. The Ukrainian side, in turn, is ready to compromise and release 309 persons," unquote. The Ukrainian side has proposed a formula of 309 for 87 for prisoners exchanged to Russia and submitted the list of prisoners. The next meeting in Minsk is to take place on September 20th. Meanwhile, Chief Monitor of the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission to Ukraine, Ertugrul Apakan, has stressed that in the first 6 months of 2017, 75% of instances of hindered access to the mission have occurred in the occupied territories of Donbas, controlled by Russia-backed militants. He said the freedom of movement was critical to the execution of the Special Monitoring Mission's mandate and the fulfillment of its role in support of the implementation of the Minsk Agreement.
You are listening to Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
In his yearly address on the domestic and international affairs to the Verkhovna Rada, President Petro Poroshenko has stated on Thursday that Ukraine's strategic course towards the EU and NATO is now evident and irreversible. The Ukrainian people had taken the initiative to define their European inclination during the Revolution of Dignity, said Poroshenko. According to him, it is not for the sake of membership in prestigious clubs that Ukraine needs to join the EU and NATO.
Це питання цивілізаційної належності, гарантія незалежності України. НАТО.
This is an issue of civilizational independence and Ukraine's guarantee for independence. After the world's security system was destroyed in the post-war period, NATO has been the only organism that has demonstrated efficiency and a reliable system of collective security. The European Union is a political culture of rights and freedoms, standards and the quality of life that is dignified, the one that Ukrainians strive for, said Petro Poroshenko. Public opinion surveys confirm that the majority of Ukrainian citizens support Ukraine's membership in the EU and the initiative of joining the NATO. Petro Poroshenko has also mentioned that the Ukrainian side was prepared for a substantive discussion with the UN Security Council about a UN peace mission within all the territory of the conflict zone. Ukraine hasn't observed any signs of Russia's willingness to retreat from Donbas or leave Crimea. Quite the opposite, more and more evidence of preparation for offensive activity of continental scale is being seen, says Poroshenko. The above-mentioned discussion, according to him, should include several principal elements. Namely, the Ukrainian side advocates a full-scale UN peacekeepers mission in the Donbas in order to maintain sustainable peace in particular areas of Donetsk and Luhansk regions. The peace mission should unfold in all the temporarily occupied territories, including the uncontrolled area of Russia-Ukraine state border. The mission should exclude participation of the aggressor country as well as the sides of the conflict. Participation of militants in the discussion of the mission's modalities cannot be considered, the president said. Concerning the issue of Crimea, Petro Poroshenko has noted that Ukraine cannot turn out Russia from the peninsula and the latter would not leave.
Ми використовуємо інструменти міжнародного права, санкції, міжнародні суди, арбітражі.
We are using all the instruments we possess within the international law. Sanctions, international courts, various international platforms and monitoring systems, from UN to UNESCO, in order to succeed in holding Russia accountable for its actions on Ukraine's territory within the international law, we have to go through a very long process, but we are committed to it, commented Petro Poroshenko.
This is Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary.
As tensions are rising following the latest nuclear test conducted by North Korea on the 3rd of September, the Ukrainian leadership strongly condemned the outrageous move. My colleague Tatiana Mukitenko has more.
This is the sixth nuclear test since 2006, run in complete disregard of the repeated demands of the international community. Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin spoke sharply about the latest news from North Korea, calling for a peaceful solution to the growing tensions between North Korea and the United States. He said that it is extremely important to prevent the situation from escalating into a deeper crisis and reminded that in 1994 Ukraine signed away its nuclear arsenal, despite being the world's third largest atomic power. At that time, the agreement symbolized new possibilities of cooperation in a post-Cold War world. Now the situation has changed dramatically in the face of the Russian takeover in Crimea and the 2017 North Korea crisis. The past months have seen a buildup of tensions on the Korean Peninsula. On September 3rd, the United States Geological Survey reported that it had detected a magnitude 6.3 earthquake in North Korea. Given the shallow depth of the quake and its proximity to North Korea's primary nuclear weapons testing facility, experts concluded that the country had conducted a nuclear weapon test. Later, North Korea's television announced the successful test of a miniaturized hydrogen bomb. The reactions to the North Korea crisis include responses by political and religious leaders, media, as well as by international organizations calling for a peaceful and diplomatic solution to the growing tensions. At the same time, U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis said that a number of massive military options are on the table in response to North Korea.
We made clear that we have the ability to defend ourselves and our allies, South Korea and Japan, from any attack, and our commitments among the allies are ironclad. Any threat to the United States or its territories, including Guam or our allies will be met with a massive military response, a response both effective and overwhelming. Kim Jong-un should take heed of the United Nations Security Council's unified voice. All members unanimously agreed on the threat North Korea poses, and they remain unanimous in their commitment to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis.
And with that, we end Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.